You are listening to Drop Tent Media Network.
It's turkey time.
Intro.
Do you want to do a cold intro?
Yeah.
Don't we normally do that?
Yeah. Introduce ourselves. We run a podcast called Jive Turkeys. It's just kind of
this is the like intro for irreverent. The
podcast? Yeah. This is the intro to the podcast.
They know this. Wow,
this no, it's this is for people who are new.
Oh God. Lord, what kind of ship do we run here? All right. Welcome to this episode of Jive Turkeys. I am Jacob, and to my right is this leather-clad gentleman,
Tyson,
and this other guy here wearing the Henley.
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
That's what's called.
Really?
Yeah, oh, okay. I appreciate your fashion forwardness.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, this is Jason over here.
Yeah. So, but this week we're trying something a little different. We're going to be interviewing people that are in a station way ahead of us. We're just 9-to-5-er guys. We're really blue collar. We have no reason to really be talking to these people that are better than us, but we're going to do it anyways. The audacity. We spit in the face of God. So this week we have a gentleman whose his credits are just insane. And the fact that he would want to talk to us is also, it's also insane. He's a talented voice actor. He's a stand-up comedian. He's worked with Jerry Seinfeld. He's a dancer. You would have to talk to us about that.
Ventriloquism.
And a ventriloquist. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have the legendary Sam Quasman with us today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
was it a step too far to call you legendary?
No, I'm not much of a legend, but, in my mind.
In I'm your just, mind, in our hearts.
I'm just an actor, you know. And, you know, I've done a few things. I have a pretty famous voice, and which is nice.
Yeah, that does help. And, we listen to your reel on YouTube, and you do way more voices than I expected you to be doing, honestly. The catalog is impressive.
What was impressive to me was how rapidly you can change from voice to voice. That just seems I can barely do, you know, a small handful of voices, much less change from one to the other without screwing them up.
Oh yeah, it just a kind of a trick, you know. It was just fun to do and something different that nobody else was doing at the time. Everybody was doing voices of real people imitating real people. I thought, okay, I'll do cartoons. You know,
there you go.
Because I like cartoons, and I've been doing cartoons for a long time. So, and that's always a lot of fun. I'm the voice of, you know, little Quacker for Tom and Jerry cartoons, and he's a baby duck, and he sounds like this.
Oh, I know the mama. I know the mama. Oh boy.
Yes.
Oh man, that brings back so many memories.
And before that, I used to do Donald Duck, and Donald Duck was. It's the same damn voice, right? Am I right?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's a little bit. There's some differences.
Quacker's much more innocent. He's an innocent, bright-haired, bushy-tailed duck, and any little thing will set Donald off. So, but I did that, and that's how I got the job as little Quacker for Tom and Jerry. The executive producer called me up one day 25 years after I'd done Donald Duck and said, "Still do a good duck?" I go, "Yeah, who are you?"
It's an odd question to get asked out of the blue.
Yeah, out of the blue.
Very good, very good.
But I'm very grateful to him. Sweet guy. And I'm very happy to be doing The Voice. We're nominated for Best Children's TV Series for the Annie Awards, the Animation Awards.
Yes, sir.
Which is given out by fellow animators. And that was last Saturday night. And it was a blast.
Yeah, to be recognized by your own community. That's pretty awesome.
And we didn't win, but it was a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, even being nominated, that's like such an honor.
It was a big honor. It really was. And everybody was there. I hung out with Goofy.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
And Jimmy Neutron.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's been nominated twice. That's Debbie Derryberry.
Oh, yeah. She voiced a lot of Tyson in myself's childhood. And that's a very recognizable voice.
Yeah, she's quite a talented young lady, and just great to know her and work with her. It's just wonderful, you know.
Absolutely. So I don't know about these guys, but growing up, like as a kid, I always thought being a voice actor would be one of the coolest things in the world. I started imitating most of the things I saw on TV. Of course, I'm almost 30, so technically almost 29. So I did a lot of the Mike Judge voices, like you would hear like Beavis and Butthead or King of the Hill. Like, he was one of the guys I looked up to just because of the versatility in his voice. You know, people like Tom Kenny, which is a obvious one. But I wanted to kind of crudely shoehorn this, my experience, and ask you, who were your idols? Like, who did you look up to
that got you into voice acting? That was easy. That was Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck. That was Mel Blanc. You know, he used to run around doing his voices all the time. And a friend of mine could do, he could do Donald Duck. And I was about 12, 13 years of age, and I thought, oh, this would be great to do. I'd love to do this. So I did it and practiced it. And I was hired at 19 as a dancer in a show called Disney on Parade. You see it today as Disney on Ice. And, you know, with They Skated, We Ran.
Oh, boy. I imagine when you put ice into the equation and blades on your feet, that completely changes the ball game.
I was literally hired as a dancer and sat down in rehearsal one day, did Donald Duck, and they said, okay, you're the next voice of Donald Duck for the show. You do it live 10 to 14 shows a week, which helped me perfect it. I did radio spots for them, and What's My Line, which was an old TV show back in the day. It was very popular back then. And that was a lot of fun. And then, you know, I went over to the studio and I wound up doing their records and toys and stuff. They didn't make cartoons back then. So that was a lot of fun. And I continued as a dancer. I did Maine with Lucille Ball. Lucy would tell me stories.
Oh, man. And her stories are so amazing. Just some of the clips you hear on YouTube. And she's such a storyteller, man. Weaves words, and it's just so entertaining. How was your time with her?
Oh, it was great. You know, she was very serious off stage, and you know, knew what she was doing. You know, all the time. And I would go up and say, you know, I really like the Three Stooges. And then she'd tell me a story about how Three Stooges, bad props, they almost killed me. And then she talked about how they almost killed her.
Oh boy.
And it's true. These are true stories. You know, she was putting some fine powder on her face, and it was very fine. And one of the Three Stooges turns on a fan, and it blows in her face, and she goes with her mouth open and down her throat, up her nose, and she was in the hospital. She said for 3 days.
Good Lord. Wow.
But the one story, I, you know, if she hadn't told me to my face, I don't think anybody would believe it. But it was World War II in the 40s, and she's driving. She had a tooth. Filling. She had a filling in a tooth, and they couldn't use the regular stuff, so they used something else. And as she's driving to MGM, she's picking up radio waves.
Oh goodness, no so way!
She's got her own radio program in her tooth, and as she's driving, she hears German in her tooth, and she calls the FBI, and they drive around, they circle around MGM, and they get to this apartment building, gets louder and louder. They go up to the top floor, and there's a nest of Nazi spies spying on MGM.
No way. Wow.
Yeah. Now, if she hadn't told me to my face, would you have believed that?
That's wild.
Well, I was a kid, and I was curious, and she was more than happy to tell me these stories, and you know, in between breaks, you know, sitting around waiting for the next shot. And I was on that show for about a month, you know, so it was a lot of fun, you know.
I imagine. Story time with Lucy.
Story time with Lucy.
Wow.
We need some background music for that.
There you go. Yeah. Well, that's a wrap. It's like, oh, did I tell you that story about the time the FBI, the Germany? That's insane. I remember hearing a story about that. She had told it on a talk show later on in her life, but she didn't mention the German spies in the MGM studio. And that to me is the cherry on top of that story. That is like, it's so hyperbolic, but it's her telling it. So it's like, you have to believe her.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, and she knew everything. She knew if she was too close to the camera, too far away. She was a pro's pro, and she just knew all about film and performance and all that. And she just worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, she was up at 5 a.m. in makeup and everything, rehearsal and blah. And, we didn't shoot till 10, and then we'd lose the light at 6 o'clock, and boom, they went off to look at the dailies. Back then they would have the dailies. They'd have to go back to the studio and look at what they shot the day before. Then they'd sit up till 2-3 a.m. talking about the next day's shoot, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying?
Jeez. Wow. That is dedication.
Yeah. I haven't even gotten out of my boxers at 5 a.m. in the morning. I can't even manage it.
And she was 61 at the time.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So that's called a work ethic, you know?
That's beyond work ethic, man. That's inhuman.
Yeah, but people always think that, it's so easy. You get up and you say your lines and you go home and you sit by your pool. No, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to be an actor on TV, movies. You've got memorization, you got rehearsal, and also she was a producer on it, you know?
Oh yeah, she wore many hats.
Yeah, many hats. So that's a lot of work, you know?
Yeah, people like to talk about voice acting as, well, it's easy. You just wake up. You don't even have to get out of your pajamas and go in there and just say a few things and you go home. And I want you to dispel that myth if you can. And
I have a character. Let's use Little Quacker. Okay. And this little duck, he has to be able to sing. He has to be able to laugh and cry, you know. I mean, I can get him to do supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Wow.
So he would sound like this.
Wow, that's impressive, man.
And then you have to get him to laugh, yeah, and cry, and cough, and he has to have a range of emotions. He has to be happy and sad and angry. And you have to be as clear as possible so people understand what you're saying. And people still don't understand the duck at times. But
I think that was most the allure about Donald Duck back in the days. Like, you didn't kind of half understand, but you got that he was angry. It was like an alcoholic father, coming home at 11 o'clock at night and you hadn't done your homework yet. So he's just barreling through the house. Maybe my childhood was different than you guys, but.
but I got to tell you, even Donald Duck, he didn't get mad at people. He got mad at, he was frustrated by the things he couldn't do. Like if he tried to open a window and it wouldn't open, then he'd get angry. So those are the things that happen. He'd trip and fall, he'd get angry. These kind of things. He never really, he would get upset when, let's say, someone else wanted to court Daisy Duck, but it would be to himself,
I gotcha.
It's interesting how he doesn't, like today it'd be a revenge movie,
Oh man, could you imagine Taken, but with Donald Duck?
Yeah, Taken with Donald
Duck.
It's a certain set of skills.
Oh man, that is.
If someone does not animate that, I will be highly upset.
That's great.
And even if he did seek revenge, he would screw up. It'd always backfire on him.
And then get mad again.
Yeah, exactly. Then he'd get mad at himself,
Always putting himself down, Donald. He's got to be a little easier on yourself.
Yeah, that's right. He's mostly hard on himself. Or Daisy Duck will tell him, don't don't, if you get, you have to control that temper, and you know, he needs to go out and take, buy a record and learn to count to 10. Wow. So that was a lot of fun, and I did that back in the way back in the day. But Ducky Nash was alive, and you know, really, he was the original, and I consider him the guy I learned from. You know, I didn't really meet him much, and but he was quite a gentleman, from what I understand. And he is the Donald Duck, as far as I'm concerned. But well, that's how I feel about it.
I can agree with that. But honestly, for you to pick up the mantle the way you did, I mean, that's just as commendable. So
and then they took all three of us out and brought in three new guys.
So. Isn't that the way?
Yeah, welcome to Disney.
I'm waiting for them to get rid of all of us and put in three new guys that look better. So
whoa.
And now a word from our sponsors.
But then I did the Bob Newhart show, and I did Bob Newhart and Family Ties, and working with Bob was great, and Suzanne Plachette was gorgeous, you know. And that she played his wife on the show.
I've heard in many interviews with other people that were on the show that he was just a ball to work with. Was your time there?
He was the same off stage as he was on stage for the week that I was there. He was just very easy to get along with.
No, it was just like, okay, Sam's going to be here. Just act normal.
Yeah. Peter Bonners, who played the dentist. I mean, I thought he was incredibly talented, and every time I get around him, I get to be tongue-tied. I didn't know what to say to him.
Fair enough.
And then I'll tell you, Suzanne Plachette, we're back behind a flat, you know, getting ready to rehearse, you know, block the, you know, dress rehearsal or something. And she goes, she wishes me luck and gives me a kiss on the cheek. And I, as she walks away, I say, you know, I have a girlfriend. And she looks around and she says, so what? I have a husband. It's like, whoa, man. God, I screwed that up.
Oh, wow.
She just laughed. That's great. You know, you're a stupid kid. You say stupid things. You
yeah.
Know?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
A lot of fun.
Very familiar.
And we still say stupid stuff. And Jason's pushing, what, 42?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Close, so, yeah.
but let's face it, even at that age, you know, I'm still saying stupid things, you know, and I'm older.
it's more fun that way.
Do you still have
more fun.
Do you still have your ventriloquist dummy? Or do you have more than one?
Well, no, I was just an actor who could do that. And I had a little 6-minute bit over at the Comedy Store. I worked at the Comedy Store with all those guys, Robin Williams.
Oh, wow.
And, Jay Leno and Letterman, they were all at the Comedy Store when I was there. And it was a lot of fun. And I did my act with my cartoon voices and my jokes. And I would end with this dummy that fell apart and stuck his head up his ass and things like that. It was
fun. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I blindfold the dummy, make him guess what people were holding up in the audience. He'd get it wrong. And... yeah, just very funny stuff.
Is that the one where you would blindfold him and then you would say, okay, that gentleman over there is like, hold up that glass. So what is he holding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I'd say there's a man, he's holding up a cigarette. What is it, Irving? And he'd go, it's a toilet seat. What do you think it is? You know?
See,
it's a cigarette. Duh. You know?
The best thing about your ventriloquist stuff is there's like a little supercut on YouTube of like little clips from you doing the ventriloquism stuff. And it was it was a little over 5 minutes long, but it's still better than all of Jeff Dunham's career. So I have to give you props on that one.
Well, I will tell you a secret. Now it's like 2019. The Hollywood Reporter decides to do a retrospective on Bob Newhart because he turns 90. So they ask all these celebrities, you know, what's your best thing to say about Bob, and it's Conan O'Brien who says, well, I saw this ventriloquist and I thought it was the funniest thing and it made me want to go into comedy.
Oh, wow.
And I go, wow, you know? And so I thanked him. I sent him a note and this autographed picture of me and the dummy as a joke. And I told him what I was doing. I was acting. And he starts sending everybody to my YouTube channel to see me perform as, you know, to do that little 5-minute bit. And I get all these people going, Conan sent me here. Conan sent me here.
Wow.
He's got a lot of fans.
So you,
isn't that weird?
You influenced
That's crazy.
One of the bigger talk show guys in the last, what, 20 years? Yeah. I guess Lena was on before that, but...
Conan was always my favorite talk show host. Yeah,
Conan's great. But that's... Yeah, so, dude, that is amazing.
Wow.
Well, then he interviews Bob Newhart on his podcast. Bob brings up the episode of The Ventriloquist. And, you know, there he's just talking about it, and there's Conan saying, yeah, that's my favorite, blah, blah, blah. And then the Wall Street Journal, I guess they had nothing else better to do, but they rated the top 10 of every season of the Bob Newhart show. In my season, I come out number 2 for my performance with Bob, not the A plot, but the B plot that I did. And I'm like, wow. And you know, I was going to be a semi-regular on the series, and, Bob quit. So welcome to showbiz.
Oh man.
Can you imagine I get this close to being the official voice of Donald Duck, and I get this close to being on a TV series. And you know, it's just a little luck. You need a little luck in this business. Right time, right place.
I guess so. That's probably why Joe Rogan's doing so well right now. Right place, right time. But
Yeah. And some politicians too. We won't go there though.
Yeah. there's not a lot of humor in that, unfortunately. Not anymore.
I will tell you, I did write a great joke. I haven't written any political jokes since George Bush, Dick Cheney, and Colin Powell. Because for 8 years we had a Bush, a Dick, and a colon in the White House. Thank you very much. Oh,
love it. Love
That's
it.
That's amazing. Yes.
And I still dance professionally. I'm currently the male stripper at the Jewish Home for the Aged.
Yes.
I'd see that show. I'd see that show.
Yeah.
Rusted Gold.
Yeah, you come back the next day, they think you're the new guy.
That's the best gig ever.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Nobody wants to date a duck, you know?
I don't know, man. In this day and age, people get a little weird. You might be able to find your niche there.
Yeah. Well, my last girlfriend was a bodybuilder. She had tattoos all over her body. I met her at this singles place prison. Oh.
Oh, no.
No luck with women, you know? I don't know what it is.
So, actually, it's kind of funny that you bring up some of your comedy. We did listen to some of it, and for the time... I imagine you could get away with it, but much like some Ray Stevens songs, there's no way he could sing some of those nowadays. I was curious, how does the current PC kind of culture affect your comedy at all? Do you let it?
I do self-deprecating humor. You know, I put myself down. That way it's a lot easier than going off and making fun of, like, the Don Rickles of his, you know, was... brilliant in his day.
True.
You know,
absolutely.
Foster Brooks played a drunk and he was hilarious, but you can't be a drunk today in a sitcom.
True.
You know. And unless it's something on Netflix or something that's, you know, really irreverent. But I think cable has opened up the door to more stuff. The problem is the language is a barrier, and being politically correct really kills comedy. Really does. Because you can't do Blazing Saddles.
Right. Yes. Right.
Right.
And absolutely Blazing Saddles, agree. Yeah.
You're gonna hate me for this, but I danced in the movie Mame with Lucy, and a lot of those guys, we all went over to do Blazing Saddles. Those guys who are the gay guys in tuxedos getting beat up by cowboys were from the movie Mame.
Really? So you?
Yeah.
Were you in Blazing Saddles?
No, I turned it down.
Oh.
I was gonna become an actor. And that was the stupidest thing. But when you're a kid, what do you do? You know, what do you, you know?
Yeah, you chased after the next big thing, I guess.
Right. I didn't want to be a chorus boy anymore. Although I wound up working in the chorus anyway after that for a while. For the money.
Hey, there you go. That's...
Yeah.
But yeah, because you don't really see a lot of stuff like Blazing Saddles coming out. I think the biggest thing that happened in the last maybe 2 decades that was... I'm not going to put them on the same pedestal because they're way different, but, you know, Tropic Thunder, how that movie
I love that movie.
It's fantastic, and Ben Stiller is an amazing director and writer, but
yeah.
I don't know if we could get away with that anymore.
I don't know. Even Tropic Thunder is maybe politically incorrect. I mean, I thought it was shocking when, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is in black makeup.
Yeah.
Blackface. And I'm going, I don't know. And then, the what was the controversy last year? Oh, baby, it's cold outside.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the dumbest. Which
won an Academy Award for best song back in 1948 or something. You know? And of course, the implication back then was that a woman was not allowed to stay over at a man's house. And, you would think, oh, well, she's thinking about it. No, it's cold outside. She'd like to stay, but the culture won't allow it. And that's what the song was about. But now it's like, on a first date, the girl stays over, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what that's like.
Yeah, me either. I just thought I'd bring it up in case somebody would say, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. I get girls sleeping in my house all the time the first date. Yeah.
Yeah.
I joke. I'm gonna get married this year, so I should probably reel that joke back in before I get in trouble.
Congratulations.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So now there's a certain faction of women that think it's racist, sexist. Come on, it was done at a very innocent time when you couldn't do things on film, when because they had to approve everything from the Hays office, which was their standards and practices back then for film. I mean, you couldn't kiss for more than what, 5 seconds, 3 seconds, something like that on camera.
Yeah, I know.
Back in the
That the same one that where you couldn't put a toilet on screen? So whenever Hitchcock did it, it really freaked people out.
Yeah, and twin beds.
Really?
You're married and you're sleeping in twin beds.
That explains so much in those old sitcoms and stuff. When you watch them, they're always in a separate bed.
That explains a few relationships I've seen.
Right. They wanted to take the sex out of television. And now, of course, if you don't sleep with three people in a double bed, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, you're the one that's wrong.
Yeah. What do you do with one person?
Monogamy.
Well, I'm usually by myself anyway, so. Anyway, but that's basically the bottom line. But I'm doing a little quacker for Tom and Jerry cartoons. We're going into our sixth season. Tom and Jerry will now be in New York, hanging out in a hotel.
Nice.
And and I did this film last year called Letters from an Up, produced by Jerry Seinfeld, and it's on Amazon Prime. And I play a depressed clown.
Really?
And typecasting.
Yes.
And I did that.
Hey, if anybody can do it, why not?
Right.
Get the depressed clown.
And that's me, yeah. I play all the weirdos and oddball things, novelty acts, tap shoes, you name it. So, this year, I'm planning to do a new movie with Jerry, but I don't know what it is yet. So, I don't know. I hope to do it. So.
Gotcha. We won't press you on the details there, so no paperwork has to be involved.
But, thank you. Nobody knows.
There you go.
Yeah.
But how was it working with Jerry before we let you go, if you don't mind?
It's great. I did Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. I was a product placement guy. My friend Barry Martyr wrote Letters from a Nut, and he's Jerry's head writer. And Barry said to me, Jerry called him up one day and said, I need a guy to do this, a comedic actor who can do the, Comedians in Cars product placement thing, the ad. And Barry goes, oh, how about Sam? And he goes, oh, Sam, get him. The guy can do everything. And I had worked with him in stand-up years before. So we went in and we shot the first one in one take.
Wow.
And that was it. And he called him back. He called him up again, Barry, and said, hey, get him back, man. We got to do another one really fast. So it was really fun. And he's just a real generous guy. He's very kind, very generous, and very giving. And, he's just cool. He's just down to earth. He's real. And that's why I think his comedy's so good, because he tells the truth. And, comedy's based on truth and honesty. Well, somewhat honesty, but truth.
I was about to say, setup, I don't think Carlos Mencia is based on truth.
Yeah, the setup is true. The punchline's exaggerated. So.
There you go. Well, do you want us to let you go, or you got to... Don't you have a show coming up pretty soon?
Yeah, I got a show coming up. I'm going to be at the Laugh Factory in Vegas, March 30th through April 7th.
Very nice.
So I'll be down there at the Tropicana Hotel at the Laugh Factory with Jerry Bednob, the comedians from The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh, God.
Oh, that'll be a fun set.
He's the angry Indian that cusses everybody out.
Oh, man. That's gonna be fun. Well, yes, yeah, any Nevada listeners that are going to be in the, you know, around that time, definitely go check Sam out. It's been an absolute delight to have you on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
or as they say in Taken, I have a very special set of tools. Was it tools?
I think it was skills.
Yeah, it was skills.
Skills. Oh, special set of tools.
Oh man.
Well, Sam, thank you for being the first person to I don't want you to put you in a weird spot, but bust our cherry for interviews. I don't know when's the last time you heard that, but
I haven't heard that since high school, but thank you.
Not a problem. Thank you so much.
Be sure to watch Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, please do. 6 seasons. That means it's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's very funny. You know, if you're a fan of Tom and Jerry.
Oh, man, I loved old school Tom and Jerry. And the new Tom and Jerry is, it's almost like it just picked up right where the old one left off.
Oh, and by the way, I don't mean to cut you off, but you can go to my website, samk3000.com, samkay3000.com, and enjoy the ducks.